talking about the subject of Karban Pesach, the Pesach that the Jews had to bring in Egypt, in Mitzrayim. And the Mishnah in Pesachim discusses the differences between Pesach and Mitzrayim. There were a number of differences pertaining to the Karban in Egypt as opposed to what we call Pesach Doros, the subsequent one, which is a mitzvah for the Jews to bring whenever we have the Beis HaMikdash. Essentially, the differences, Pesach Mitzrayim, everything that pertained to the Karban, to the sacrifice, to the animal, the condition in which it had to be eaten, and so on and so forth, is the same. However, in Mitzrayim, there were differences. That is to say that there was the idea of Kicha Ba'asar, that it had to be taken on the 10th day. And it was a sacrifice. The sacrifice was on the afternoon of the 14th, and was eaten on the night of the 15th. So Rashi mentions that it's not just that it had to be separated, prepared on the 10th, but it also requires investigation. It has to be guarded. That's the idea of guarded, to be examined, examination for a mum, for a defect, something which would disqualify it from being used. Then you also, of course, you have the hazah, the sprinkling of the blood on the doorposts, which was not done every year. That was done only in Egypt. And then the manner in which they ate it, that it describes that they had to eat it in a certain way, they had to be dressed in a certain way. As Rashi said, Na'alechem v'raglechem, with your shoes on your feet. U'masnechem chagurim, and your loins had to be covered. That's an indication that they had to be dressed for the road. And then they had to eat it, u'makelchem b'yetchem, and your staff in your hand. That is to say, the way of, when a person sat down to eat it, he didn't eat it in the normal way. To the contrary, normally, when a person sits down to a meal, so he removes his outer garments, his coat, his gloves, whatever the case may be, and relaxes. Wears clothing that are appropriate to the house, whatever it may be. This is a strange requirement, and it's something that we should try and understand. What's the reason for that? Normally, a person's having a meal, a significant meal in his house, even if he's planning to go somewhere after the meal, he doesn't sit down. It would be akin today. We don't have canes or staffs in our hands, but it would be akin to being put on your coat, put on your boots or whatever it is you're going to be wearing outside, or gloves, your hat, as though you are ready to go and sit down and have this meal. It's something that requires an explanation. Indeed, that was not the case in subsequent years, that a person ate it in a comfortable way. So what would be the point of that? It doesn't seem either that it's a practical thing, meaning that there's no time to spare. You could say something like that. Sometimes a person's in a situation and he's going to be going on a journey, and the last thing he does before he leaves is to have this meal. So then you might say, practically speaking, since as soon as the meal is finished, you have to leave, so then maybe you should even eat the meal when you're all dressed and ready to go. Sometimes people do that. If they have to go somewhere, they have to catch a plane, whatever it is, and they just want to grab a quick meal. So that would make sense, that before they even eat the meal, they're already dressed. But that's something different. I don't think it applies over here because they were leaving, but they weren't leaving until the next morning. The pasuk makes it clear that the actual physical yitziyah, the leaving from Egypt, took place on the next morning. So, and it also says, lo seitzu, that you shouldn't leave your house that whole night, the pasuk says. So if they're not going to leave their house that whole night, it's obvious that they weren't going to go. So there was no practical reason that they should have to be dressed, as Rashi says, Mizumanim Laderach. Yeah, Rashi says, Masnechem Chagurim, that your loins are girded. Apparently that was a belt that they wore around their cloak, and that is the way in which they would go outside and would travel. So Rashi says, Mizumanim Laderach, prepared for the road. Then it says, in addition, V'achaltem oso b'chipazon. So you have a number of different things over here. A person has to be fully dressed for his outside gear, which includes masnechem chagurim, nalechem v'raglechem, umakelchem b'yetchem. Then it says, V'achaltem oso b'chipazon. Pesach u'lashem. There's an additional requirement that it had to be eaten b'chipazon, hurriedly, with great haste, as Rashi says. Lashon behola u'mihirus. It's an expression of speed. The term behola implies a certain state where a person is, like the Gemara says, adam behola mamono. It implies a certain agitation. It's a certain irrational state where a person is so concerned about losing money that he's not in his normal rational state and he'll do crazy things. That's a certain type of a state where a person is so fixated on getting something, or sometimes a person is caught in a situation and he just has to get out of there. And he's bohol. The determination to just get out of there, if a person, for example, is swimming in a river and he thinks it's safe and suddenly someone yells that there's an alligator in the water or something like that, even though the alligator may not be attacking you at that moment, but a person would become bohol to get out, which may not be the most correct thing to do. He may start thrashing and swimming and he's bohol. That is to say that he just has to get out of there. That's the only thing that matters, and that's the state that a person is in. That the Gemara says with regard to his money, it implies a certain type of a craziness that a person has, and even acknowledge it. He says, "I just had to get out of there. I didn't care anymore." He's just fixated on one particular thing.
Shouldn't they have not?
The question is, what is the idea over here? What is the reason for the requirement over here? The fact that they should eat the korban in this particular type of a state.
Well,
the idea of bechipazon over here doesn't mean such an extreme state where a person is disoriented. I think it means that sometimes you have to move very, very quickly, and you can't even stop to plan, to plot your moves in a calm, rational way. You have to bypass that. As for example, normally, if you're going to drive to a doctor or a hospital, if there's no emergency, you want to get there. You don't want to just waste your time, but you will stop. You'll consider, you'll get reports on the traffic and so on and so forth and plot your moves. But if it's an emergency and you just have to get there, you don't have the time to stop and to think. You just focus on one thing and you'll do whatever you have to do to get there, and you'll even do dangerous things and take risks. You may, if there's a slowdown or if there's some kind of traffic jam, you'll go around, you may even go on a sidewalk, whatever the case may be, because you just fixated on one goal, getting there. That, I think, is the basic idea of bohol. It's one thing to say that a person can eat it quickly, whatever that means, whatever the time would be, you can eat it quickly. But bohol, that state, that seems to be a state. So one can ask, were they in such a state or not? I guess they had to put themselves into that kind of a situation where they would be eating that way.
Yeah, it's like,
it just seems to be that that's the case, that they had to eat it quickly. Sometimes, of course, we want to understand the point behind this. What is the point behind this? That they should eat it quickly, sort of like gobbling up a meal, which sometimes we do when we are in a hurry, generally speaking, you like to eat a meal with a certain leisurely pace. And not in a rush. You don't like to be rushed if it's a significant meal. But then there are situations where it's different, where you don't really have time for a meal, but you got to eat. So you just sort of gobble it down and then go back to what you were doing. It's a little bit surprising because you would expect it to be otherwise. If it's a significant meal and it has to do with the mitzvah,
you should
do it relaxed and slowly and contemplate and so forth. And instead, you're sort of like eating in a big hurry. Yeah, we'll take a look at the Rashi on Perek Yud-Beis Pasuk Vav, which is significant. And the real question, I think, that has to be asked behind all these questions is what was the purpose of performing the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim? That we read, Vamartam Zevav Pesach Ulashem, that the purpose of the Pesach Doros is to serve as a reminder of all the ideas that are associated with the Yetziah, with the Exodus from Egypt. So that makes sense that it's one of the mitzvos that we're commanded to do to commemorate the miracle. But why did it have to be done in Egypt itself? It's hard to say that it's commemorating it in Egypt itself. I mean, first it has to happen. Once it happens, then you commemorate it. Now Rashi on V'hoi lechem l'mishmeres, that is, it shall be something for safekeeping. That is the idea that you set it aside on the 10th in Mitzrayim, which is not required every year. So Rashi says it's an expression of bikur. Bikur means examination. That it wasn't just that you set it aside, but you set it aside for the purpose of safeguarding it. That it should be in the proper state. It should be appropriate, which means that you examine it to see that it does not acquire any kind of a blemish before slaughtering it. So then Rashi asks the question, what was the reason that God commanded this, that required that we make the acquisition, precede the slaughtering by 4 days, which is not the case in future generations? So then he quotes Rabbi Masya ben Chorash, says, quotes a pasuk. He quotes a pasuk from Yecheskel, which is referring to what took place in the Mitzrayim, where he says, "Ve'ever alayich ve'erech," that God, so to speak, passed over you. God is saying, "And I saw you, v'hine iteich estudim." And behold, your time was a time of loving, of love. That this particular time was a time of, so to speak, love. With regard to the relationship between God and the Jewish people. That the time for the fulfillment of the oath that God had made to Abraham that he would redeem his children had come. But, v'lo hayu biyadam mitzvos l'sasek b'hem. But they did not possess any mitzvos in which to be involved in, to be osek with. Kidei sheyigalu, so that they should be able or worthy of being redeemed. As it says, v'yat eron v'erya, you are bare and naked. That's in Yecheskel, which obviously is meant metaphorically. What does it mean they were bare and they're naked? There's a metaphor over here with regard to the fact that the Jewish nation had come into being, the form of the nation. But there was something lacking. What was lacking? They were still naked and bare. So what is that referring to? V'nathan lehem shtei mitzvos. So God gave them 2 mitzvos. Dam Pesach, the blood of the Pesach, v'dam mila, and the blood of circumcision. Shemalu biyotzav halayla. They circumcised on that night. Shenemer, as it says, misposeses b'damayich, that God saw you wallowing in your bloods. B'damayich, it's plural. B'shnei damim, 2 bloods. And, moreover, Rashi continues, it says, Gam at bedam berisech shilachti. At shilachti asirayach miborim bomayim. You also, in the blood of your bris, I send forth your prisoners from the bor, the pit, which had no water in it. So that's indicating that, even though the Torah is not talking about it, there's an indication of two bloods. Well, the blood of the carbon, that's the new mitzvah that was given now. The blood of circumcision. They had been given the mitzvah back in the time of Avram, but apparently not everybody did it in Mitzrayim. But it was a requirement over here, in terms of the carbon. Well, the fisha yishtufim be'alilim. And because they were steeped in idolatry, Amar lahem, God said to them, Mishchu u'kachu lachem. Draw and take unto yourself lambs and goats, which is as if to say that it contains an allusion to the idea of mishchu. Mishchu means to draw away from something. Mishchu yideichem me'alilim, draw your hands from idols, away from idols. Ukachu lachem son shel mitzvah, and take unto yourself a sheep of mitzvah. That's what Rashi says. Now, how is Rashi answering the question? Rashi is explaining why there was a need for this mitzvah, in the context of explaining why they had to set aside the animals on the 10th. Now Rashi makes a point in quoting the statement of Reb Masih ben Charash, this idea that the time had come, the nation had been formed, but the nation was really bare and naked. And in that state, they couldn't be redeemed. So therefore, the mitzvah of Karban Pesach was meant to redress that, to provide them with the garment, so to speak. And it says that they didn't have mitzvahs to be involved in order to be redeemed. So it seems that they couldn't be redeemed unless they had mitzvahs. What is the meaning of that? It seems that the time had come, they were supposed to be redeemed, and they would get the mitzvahs. The idea is that all of this is a precursor to Sinai. We understand that God did not remove the Jews from Egypt just so that they shouldn't be enslaved, but then they could just do whatever they wanted to do. That wasn't the point. The point was it was for an objective to have the Torah and to do the mitzvahs. But here we're saying even more, that in order to warrant the redemption, they had to have mitzvahs. Yeah, Rashi refers to this basic idea in chapter Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'hayad Adam Lachem La'os. The blood will be for you for a sign on the houses that you are in, and I will see the blood, and I'll skip over you. And there will not be a plague. L'mashchis, b'hakosi b'yaretz Mitzrayim. That's interesting, which seems to indicate that this was essential. It would seem that only those Jews who performed the mitzvah and the sprinkling of the blood would be redeemed. Otherwise, the plague, which would be destroying the firstborn of Egypt, would affect the Jews as well. The only thing that saved the Jews was the performance of the mitzvah. And Rashi says on that, and I will see the blood. So Rashi says everything is revealed before God. What does it mean, I'll see the blood? What's the idea here? But rather, the pasuk is saying that God is saying, I will focus my attention, liros sha'atem asukim b'mitzvosei, that you are involved, your osek, in my mitzvos. And, uposeich ani aleichem, and I will skip over you. It's interesting, v'ayadam lachem lios. See, it's interesting because the blood is saying, the pasuk is saying that the blood will be a sign for you, and I will see the blood. Which, the question would be, where would the blood be? Is it on the inside or the outside? So most people, I think, believe that it's on the outside because the pasuk seems to be depicting that God will see the blood, but that's anthropomorphic, obviously. But here, if you study the pasuk here, Rashi is saying, lachem lios, that we learn from this that the blood would be on the inside. Practically speaking, the blood was on the inside of the door, so the people on the inside would see the blood. And it doesn't mean that God's going to pass by and see the blood. And it just means the idea being it's calling our attention to the fact that God takes cognizance of the blood, which means God takes cognizance of the fact that the individuals inside are osek in the mitzvah. They're involved in the mitzvah. And that is what will save them. There are many questions, of course, you can ask. And yeah. We're not necessarily going to answer all these questions right now. For example, according to this, it just means that God takes cognizance of the fact that you're osek in the mitzvah. So why do you have to sprinkle the blood? The fact of the matter is God knows which houses they're eating the carbon pesach, which is the mitzvah. Now, that's a good question. But still, let's just understand the basic idea over here. The basic idea, in general, seems to be the whole idea that the time had come and they were bare and naked, which means that from the physical standpoint, all the aspects of nationhood had been established. But they were lacking the whole purpose. This is a distinct kind of nationhood in terms of its purpose. And the purpose is to be a nation of Kohanim, that to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the true idea of God, relate to the true idea of God, and for themselves and for all of mankind, to teach mankind the true idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the foundation of foundations. So that also wasn't there. The implication being that was one of the corruptions of the Galus, that they had become steeped in idolatry to a certain extent. They had lost the foundation. The whole idea of that night was to reestablish the foundation. The foundation of the covenant is based upon two things, the bris milah, and the renunciation of Avodah Zarah. And without that, you can't have a redemption. You don't have an entity. That's what it's saying. The entity has to come into being. Of course, there's the promise. But that promise has to relate to an entity. If the entity is not there, it just can't be fulfilled. Who's it going to be fulfilled with? And thus, this mitzvah was different. The purpose of this mitzvah transcends the system of Taryag mitzvahs. This is the foundational mitzvah. The foundational mitzvah of the renunciation of idolatry and to redirect yourself to the system of avoda, which is based upon mitzvos. It's a whole different kind of a system. It's based upon mitzvos, which lead a person slowly but surely to the true ideas. And that's what they had to do in order to merit redemption. That's what they are. Otherwise, you're just like the Egyptians, and the plague will affect you just like them. It's not because the Egyptians are the bad guys, so to speak. It's only to the extent that you separated and differentiated yourself. So God skips over the houses of the Egyptians, of the Jews, and smites the Egyptians, but spares the Jews because the Jews have separated themselves. That's the idea of the Dam. The Dam reflects that idea. That by removing yourself from the idolatrous approach and redirecting yourself to the system of mitzvos, that's it, you're in a different plane, you're a different kind of a people. That's the minimal of what had to be done over there on a foundational basis. That is to say, without the identity of Klal Yisrael, which comes from the Bris Milah, that's the idea of the two bloods, wallowing in your bloods. The Dam of Milah, the blood of Milah, and the blood of the Karban Pesach. And the idea of blood has implications, it would seem, because it indicates that there's a certain resistance in people, that people are drawn after the natural flow of the instincts. So that's why the idea of circumcision is something which is not appealing to a person. It evokes a tremendous amount of resistance, the whole idea of circumcision. And the idea of Karban Pesach evokes that because it's against the natural flow of the emotions which want to worship God in a very pleasant kind of a way. This is a different idea. It's a system which appeals to the mind. And that's why I believe that in Mitzrayim they needed the Kicha Ba'asar on the 10th day. Because you had to prepare yourself. You had to separate yourself and not to relate to this Karban in the same way you'd relate to a primitive idolatrous type of phenomenon. So that's the first idea, that the Karban itself is different. That it's a halachic phenomenon, that it's subject to to mum, to deficiencies, to defects, which would invalidate it. And there's concepts and ideas that are connected to it. You have to understand that sugya, what it is. It's not a simple physical thing. So already you're involved in the world of abstract ideas, which are the bases of the halachic approach to perfection. That, I think, is the general idea of the purpose of the Karban Pesach. With regard to the issue of eating it muzumonim aderech, ready for the road, and eating it in haste and all of that, there's another aspect, and that is to say that a person has to break his connection with Mitzrayim. Not just in terms of the practices, there's the overt system of idolatry. But then, there's many other ways in which you're affected by the culture. That even if a person is not overtly an idolater, and he still regards himself as a Jew and religious Jew, but to a large extent he identifies with the cultural experience, and he regards himself as being a part of a foreign country, whether he be an American or anything like that. And here, it was essential that they separate themselves, to break their identification with the country, and to the contrary, there's, once you have a recognition of the evil of Egypt, and that you're going to be removed, and you're going to be established in a new place, which is going to be a society that's based upon the appropriate approach to life, to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so forth, so then there's a certain desire, a longing to be there. Now you can see, that would only be appropriate then. However, in subsequent years, when you have the land, Eretz Yisrael, and you have the Beis HaMikdash, and so on, so then to the contrary, this is the place where you want to be. So then, it would be absurd to have anything like that. But that idea, the idea of a certain love, a certain desire to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the correct way, is expressed in Mitzrayim with that chipazon, with that longing. And so you have that. You have two things over here. You have the fact that the person is dressed, which means that even though he's still physically he's still inside, but mentally he's already regarding himself as being someone who separated himself. And that has to be expressed concretely. That there's no doubt in your mind that the geula has come. That you're out of here. That's by, you're not waiting. You're not waiting for it anymore. Now it's here. It's at hand. And now you're responding to it. And b'chipazon. And that is that, again, it's not, it's only a type of eating, which is enough, because you're gonna have to travel. But, the whole objective is, like you can imagine, if a person is, waiting, the example I always give is like a person who's been in jail for many, many years, and finally he's gotten a reprieve, his sentence has been commuted, and he sort of counts off the days. He can't wait to get out of there. He counts off the days. And when that day comes, the last day, so to speak, let's say the time, the official time is 12 o'clock, but he's going to be up early, he's going to be packed, he's going to be dressed, he's going to be with his coat on, he's not going to wait till the end. He's going to be dressed way before. And he's distracted. That's the idea of b'chipazon. And if they give him a meal, this is different. He's just going to wolf it down because he's eating because he knows he's not going to be able to eat later. But, all the other things, a meal always has a certain amount of kvius. A certain amount of, connection with relaxing and the place and so on and so forth. Here it's a different kind of an expression. A different kind of phenomenon. Basically, it means that this is the way you conduct yourself in terms of the eating and everything else is all because of the geula. It's an expression of the desire that a person has for the geula. It has many connotations. It's an assertion that this is not the place. That we can't achieve the objective in this place. So, practically speaking, there's a difference. There's a difference between physically being in a place and identifying with that place. Sometimes you're forced to stop over somewhere, which in a place where you don't want to be. But so mentally, you never become attached to that place. Let's say, for example, there were people that, after the Holocaust, never wanted to set foot on German soil. So, and others didn't have that attitude. But let's say sometimes you're on a plane on the way to Israel, whatever it may be, flying over Europe, and because of certain circumstances, they had to make an emergency landing in Germany. So now this individual who said he would never set foot on German soil, he's in a quandary. So he may say, I'm not getting off the plane. Well, the plane is located in Germany, technically. Yeah, but that's different. He's not on a psychological level. He's just in a plane. He's not doing anything that would indicate that he's partaking of anything in this country. He may be forced to get off the plane. So then he'll get off the plane. He'll maybe go into the airport, and he may not take off. He may not even take off his coat.
Terminal.
The terminal. He may not even take off his coat. Because what's the difference? No, taking off the coat is already a recognition that I'm in this place for a while. I don't want to give this any kind of... You can see how that idea, it's a matter of recognition. There are certain things that a person does to indicate that he doesn't give any recognition to this place. So I think that is... what this represents over here, that the person has broken his connection to this particular place because he recognizes that it's a place of idolatry, of corruption, and his desire is to be in a different place, the place of mitzvos.